ಮಾನವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೌರಾಧಮಾನವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿಜನ ಬಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿಜನ ಬಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಯಶ್ವರಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶ್ವರಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಕಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಕಾರಿ ಗೌರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೌರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಯಶ್ವರಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶ್ವರಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರ ವನಕಾರಿ ಯಮುನ ತೀರ ವನಕಾರಿ ಗೌರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೌರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಸ್ತು ಶ್ರೀ ಶಿಮರೇಶಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿರಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಪ್ರಭು ಪಾರ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನಿತಾಯ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದೇ ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಗೋ ಸಮವೇತ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಆಗವೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಅಸಮದಗಾತಿ ಆಗವೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಅಸಮದಗಾತಿ ಆಗವೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಅಸಮದಗಾತಿ ಆಗವೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಗೌರಾಂಗ ನಮೋ ಭಗ भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7, The Killing of the Demon Shrinavarta, Texts Number 35 and 36. Is that right?
I said 33.
Oh, 33, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I have to read some without purports. So text 33, Dushya Bhutani Bahusho Nanda Gopo Bihadvane Vasudeva Vacho Bhuyo Manayam Asa Vismitaha. Having seen all these incidents in Brihadvan, Nanda Maharaj became more and more astonished, and he remembered the words spoken to him by Vasudeva in Mathura. Ikadarbhakam adhaya swankam aropya bhamini prasnutam payayam asa stanam sneha pariputa. One day Mother Yashoda, having taken Krishna up and placed him on her lap, was feeding him milk from her breast with maternal affection. The milk was flowing from her breast and the child was drinking it. Text 30, let's just chant text 35, the word meanings for rat. Pita Prayasya, of child Krishna, who was being offered breast milk and was almost satisfied. Janani, Mother Yashoda, Sutasya, of her son, Ruchira Smitam, seeing the child fully satisfied and smiling. Mukham, the face, Lalayati, patting and softly rubbing with her hand. Rajan, O King. Jindata, while the child was yawning. Daddrishe, she saw. Idam, the following. Pita Prayasya Janani. Sutasya ruchirasmitam Mukam lalayati Mukam lalayati rajan Dhimbhato dadrishe idam Pita prayasya janani Sutasya ruchirasmitam Mukam lalayati rajan Dhimbhato dadrishe idam Pita prayasya janani Sutasya ruchirasmitam Mukam lalayati rajan Dhimbhato dadrishe idam
Pita Prayasya Janani,
Pita Prayasya
Ladies. Translation. O King Parikshit, when the child Krishna was almost finished drinking his mother's milk, and Mother Yashoda was touching him and looking at his beautiful, brilliantly smiling face, the baby yawned, and Mother Yashoda saw in his mouth the whole sky, the higher planetary system and the earth, the luminaries in all directions, the sun, the moon, fire, air, the seas, islands, mountains, rivers, forests, and all kinds of living entities, moving and non-moving. Srila Prabhupada's purport. By the arrangement of Yoga Maya, Krishna's pastimes with Mother Yashoda were all regarded as ordinary. So here was an opportunity for Krishna to show his mother that the whole universe is situated within him. In his small form, Krishna was kind enough to show his mother the Virat Rupa, the universal form, so that she could enjoy seeing what kind of child she had on her lap. The rivers have been mentioned here as the daughters of the mountains, Naghangs Tadduhitri. It is the flowing of the rivers that makes big forests possible. There are living entities everywhere, some of them moving and some of them not moving. No place is vacant. This is a special feature of God's creation. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Pita prayasya janani sutasya uchirasmitam mukam lalayati rajan drimbato dadrushe idam. Kam rodasi jyotir anikamashaha suryam yuvani sosanam buddhingscha dvipan nagangs taduhitri vanani bhutani yani stira jangamani. O King Pariksha, when the child Krishna was almost finished drinking his mother's milk and Mother Yashoda was touching him and looking at his beautiful, brilliantly smiling face, the baby yawned, and Mother Yashoda saw in his mouth the whole sky, the higher planetary system, and the earth, the luminaries in all directions, the sun, the moon, fire, air, the seas, islands, mountains, rivers, forests, and all kinds of living entities, moving and non-moving. Mother Yashoda is a simple cowherd woman. She's enjoying her son. One of our beautiful paintings we have, the BBT, Krishna, our Mother Yashoda holding baby Krishna. So he looks just like an ordinary child. She's enjoying him as an ordinary child with full motherly affection. And she looks in his mouth and she sees everything. This is one of two times that we hear about Mother Yashoda seeing the universal form. In fact, the next chapter is called Lord Krishna Shows the Universal Form. So that's the more famous one we tend to think of when Krishna is accused of eating dirt. So he opens his mouth so Mother Yashoda can see if he has eaten dirt, and she sees the whole universe in there. So there are two examples of it. The Acharyas comment on these pastimes. Of course, they're very significant. Because Krishna's just an ordinary child, and he's showing this extraordinary opulence. He's showing that he's everything. And what his mother showed his reaction. That's probably the most important part of what's going on here. First of all, Krishna's showing his Virat Rupa, as Prabhupada describes it here. The Virat Rupa is, we know from Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, but it's not so much appreciated by the devotees who are attracted to Krishna's personal form and have a personal relationship with Krishna. The Virat Rupa is attractive to other kinds of persons without such highly elevated consciousness as the residents of Vrindavan or even Arjuna, who of course has a fraternal relationship with Krishna. But others are attracted, we're attracted to Krishna's universal form. This universe is Krishna's universal form. And we see, I know I always like to watch the sunset at night because it's so beautiful. Golden sun going down, and sometimes you have all the beautiful colors, and so many aspects of nature are very attractive, very appealing. People go, they travel all over the world to see natural wonders. Just to stand and look at nature. You can spend hours. You go to the Grand Canyon, you can spend days just looking out over the canyon. It's so amazing how much variety there is in Krishna's creation. There's so much variety. So there's so much to see. There's so much beauty there, of course, because it's a reflection of Krishna. But for us, that only goes so far. In fact, we may have experienced ourselves, you try to enjoy nature by looking at it, and it's sort of like you can't really taste it. You don't get a real reciprocation exactly. It's sort of flat in one sense. It's not the same as the enjoyment one gets through interaction with a living person. But still, it's attractive. It's powerful. It shows many of the opulences of Krishna. Wealth and power and so on. Beauty. Certain kind of beauty. So we're attracted to that because it's a reflection of Krishna. In material consciousness, we're attracted to the material world. In spiritual consciousness too, when we're connected with Krishna, we can appreciate the beauty. And then there are those yogis, for example, who appreciate the universal form of Krishna because they're awed by it. This is the situation in Shantarasa. Shantarasa, we know in the nectar of devotion, the different rasas are described, different relationships with Krishna. So the beginning stage of transcendence is called Shantarasa. The yogis who are meditating, at some point, Gradually, over time, by controlling the mind, controlling the senses, controlling the breathing, stopping everything, looking within, trying to perceive spirit. That's their endeavor. They're trying to perceive spirit. What is it that ties everything together? What is that unifying element or force that ties everything together? So by yogic meditation, they can get some glimpse of that. Or the gyanis or yogis can come to the platform of Aham Brahmasmi. They realize, I'm spirit myself. I'm part of this spirit, the spirit that pervades everything. Brahman realization. There's one place I just came across. We talk about Brahman realization as, or Brahman, the Brahmajyoti, of course, is Krishna's rays. I came across it, a place where Prabhupada, he kind of makes a distinction between the Brahmajyoti and the being in Krishna's personal presence and feeling the rays, you might say, the aura of the person. So that's another kind of a little step higher, you might say. There's a sort of all pervasive, impersonal. You don't see Krishna. But then there's a higher level where you understand it. Actually, this is coming from Krishna. In fact, in Shankarasa, there is appreciation for the personal form of Krishna, the personal form of the Lord, Vishnu, or Paramatma, realization. In Paramatma realization or Vishnu realization, the yogi becomes stunned. Yogis actually experience what we talk about as ecstatic symptoms. We think of those ecstatic symptoms as a anubhava. Of course, anubhava means there's bhava, there's love for Krishna. So what follows anubhava is the body goes haywire, you might say. It's so overwhelming. To be in the presence of God is so overwhelming that your body can't handle it. The tears of water just gushes out. You could say it's like the elements start separating. We see in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, extraordinary things happen. His body elongated, and then his limbs would shrink into his body, and all these crazy things would go on. So one way to look at it is that the spiritual is just overpowering the material. It can't handle the happiness, actually. So there's a kind of happiness, a kind of pleasure in the yogi's perception of God. When they first get that darshan, they get the darshan of Krishna. You can just imagine that they're overwhelmed. So that actually can take a lot, they can spend a long time just contemplating that. I came across recently some Christians saying, it may be from the Bible, but the basic idea of it was that eternity is the eternal contemplation of the greatness of God. So it's all about contemplation. Just, you might say, just standing and looking at God for eternity. That's it. Because in one sense you can say, well, that's fully satisfying in itself. That itself is so amazing, you don't want to take your eyes off it. Or whatever senses, all of your senses, somehow become engaged with God, with Parabrahman. So there's this idea that some transcendentalists have that's it. That's all you need. You don't need anything else than that. You sit on a cloud and you look at God forever. That's eternal happiness. But we know, of course, Shantarasa. Some of our acharyas, they don't even list it as one of the. We say there's five, but some say, well, the first one is not really a relationship with Krishna because you're not interacting. You're just looking. That's a kind of interaction, you might say, but not exactly the kind of reciprocation going on. So devotee, well, of course, what is the point that we make when you understand Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, I am spirit. God is spirit. So then the next question is, well, now what am I supposed to do? Now that I've understood that. In fact, we say that you really can't just contemplate eternally. You have to, because you have to be active. There has to be some action. The soul is active by nature. I guess suppose we could say that contemplation is a kind of action. In fact, I was thinking this, we say that it's not really devotional service, but one of the services is smarnam, just to remember, just to think about. So to think about God. Although when we talk about smarnam, we especially think of higher levels of smarnam. There are many ways to think about God, of course. As Prabhupada would say, we don't discount thinking of Krishna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And we don't discount thinking of even God's universal form. That's also thinking of Krishna. Thinking of anything in relationship to Krishna is a kind of smarnam. But there's a higher, more advanced level where one thinks of Krishna, what he does, his qualities, his unlimited qualities, and what he does, his activities. So that smarnam is more advanced. Or to think of what service I'm to render to Krishna. Prabhupada gave this as the solution to how we control our minds. We control our minds by thinking, what can I do for Krishna? How can I spread this Krishna consciousness movement? That was the way he put it in one letter. The devotee said, my mind is agitated. So Prabhupada said, so you control your mind by thinking, what can I do to push on this Krishna consciousness movement? So that's a kind of smile. I'm also thinking, contemplating how to spread Krishna consciousness. So service, thinking of service, that moves one off the platform of Shantarasa into Dasya. So the point here is that this universal form that's being showed to Mother Yashoda is not something she's interested in. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna's energy would at times test Mother Yashoda. So what is this energy testing? This universal form, which is Krishna's external energy, you can say, the material energy. So it's testing Mother Yashoda. What is it testing? It's testing her prema. How strong is her prema? Will she become a jnani? That's what happens. She sort of becomes a jnani for a moment. She starts thinking, and in the later pastime, she starts thinking like a jnani, or like Sankhya Yoga. She starts thinking, oh, actually, I'm not this body. That means that Krishna's not really my son. Nanda Maharaj is really not my husband. This is all temporary. She starts thinking as enlightened soul and material, enlightened conditioned soul would think, this is all Maya. This is all illusion. I really not. This is not my eternal home. These are not. This is all temporary, and so on. Because she, in the face of seeing the power of the material energy, seeing how the energy can bewilder us and how powerful it is, she starts thinking, "Oh, I'm not actually part of this world." But this is just temporary, of course. It goes away. Then she thinks, "Oh, no, it's just here's my son Krishna. I don't care about all these things." Giving me a headache thinking this way. I just love my son. So what happens is her prema reigns supreme. Her prema overcomes the test by the material energy. I was saying this universal form is appreciated by the Shanta Bhaktas. So it can't be appreciated by Mother Yashoda. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Mother Yashoda is in such a position that those in Madhurya Bhav place their heads at her feet. Isn't it true? The younger gopis in Madhurya Bhav, they're in that relationship with Krishna, they're coming and putting their heads on Mother Yashoda's feet, in whose courtyard the Supreme Personality of Godhead is playing. This verse is said about Nanda Maharaj. The devotee prays, Shutanapare smitamitare bharatamandi bhajantu bhavabita. Let others worship the Upanishads, the Shruti, Smriti, and so on, the Mahabharata, Bhavabhita, because they're fearing material existence. This is the motivation for many who study the scriptures, because they fear material. Fear is a great motivator. As we get older, we start thinking, I better get it together. Huh? Death is coming. Uh-oh. Am I going to be ready? So fear can be a great motivator, but it's not the best motivator. So what this devotee says, Aham Vande Nanda Iha Nanda Yasyalinde Param Brahma. I worship Nanda Maharaj. I don't worship the Vedas because I'm afraid of material existence. I worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard the Supreme Personality of God is playing like an ordinary child. So this is the position of Mother Yashoda. The greatest devotees are placing their heads on her feet. So she's not interested in the universal form. Now another thing we learn from this is, of course, this is about Krishna. Krishna is showing the universal form. People think, I know Krishna. And in fact, there's a verse like this by Lord Brahma in the 14th chapter, 10th canto. Well, after the Brahma Vimohan Leela, when Lord Brahma recites prayers, comes before Krishna and offers prayers. So the theme of several verses in that chapter is how Krishna is so difficult to understand. And of course, Brahma, he's Adi Kavi, he's the original pundit in this universe. So he says, Jananta Vijanantu Kim Bahukya Chame Prabhu. He says, there are those who say, I know everything about Krishna. But then he says, let them talk like that. As far as I'm concerned, He's completely beyond my body, mind, and words. So this is Lord Brahma. He says, you can say you know about Krishna, but I don't know about Krishna. He bewilders me. He just bewildered me in this Leela. I stole these boys and calves, and then they came back and they were still there. What happened? So he's so beyond me. I can't understand him. So this is an example of that. How can the universe be in a little baby's mouth? Or in his belly? And the acharyas make the point that when Lord Brahma offers his prayers, he says, you showed your mother the universe within your abdomen. So she looked in his mouth, but she was really looking into his abdomen, in his belly. That's where the universe rests, in his belly. So everything is there. Even she is in there with Krishna, looking in his mouth. So how bewildering is that? Mother Yashoda's head is just spinning. But Krishna is showing, this is my power. At first she thinks, well, maybe this is some kind of magic. But then she says, no, my child, what business does he have? He's not going to show some magic. Maybe this has something to do with Lord Narayan, because Garga Muni, he was hinting that there's some connection between my son and Lord Narayan. So maybe Lord Narayan is doing something here, trying to trick us. Anyway, I don't want to think about this anymore. This all this gyan is too much. I just love Krishna, that's all. But just see how Krishna, for our benefit at least, we can see. Mother Yashoda doesn't want to think about it, but we have to think about it. Krishna is the source. He's the beginning of everything, the source of everything. All of this that has so much power, the vastness of it is beyond our contemplation, beyond our comprehension. We can't even, our minds can't even grasp. Today we hear scientists talk about light years, you know, millions of light years away, certain stars or galaxies are. So we can't even get our brains around what this means. It's so vast. So Krishna is so vast. Mahavishnu is just emanating universes, just like easy as breathing. They come and go. But then he looks like just a little baby playing with his mother. So the acharyas, of course, Vyasadeva, when he writes his books on Krishna, he doesn't deal with only Krishna and Vrindavan, because people will think, it was just, what is this? They're raising this person to God? Even Lord Brahma, he thought, wow, they're worshipping this person as God, or Lord Indra. They think he's God, or Lord, they think there's something special about this child. I'll show him how special he is, Lord Indra thought. Well, he found out what he was, how special he was. So he's beyond, Lord Brahma says, he's completely beyond my understanding. Then we have a long time to try to figure this out. There's another verse, Gunatmanaste pi gunan vimatun hitavatir nasyaka ishiresya. Kalina yarva mihika dibasar. What's the last line? Anyway. So Lord Brahma says in time there may be persons who can count all the atoms in the universe, all the snowflakes, and all the particles of sun. But they'll never finish counting and describing the glories of Krishna. And the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says in his commentary, there are persons who have actually counted all the atoms in the universe. Great persons like Shukadeva Goswami, who, by the way, is in Chantarasa. He's considered to be in Chantarasa, at least before he hears or speaks Srimad Bhagavatam or hears Bhagavatam from his father. He was born Brahman realized, like the Kumaras, they're also Brahman realized. Another example of Chantarasa is Biramangal Thakur in his earlier life, before he met Krishna in Vrindavan, interacted with Krishna in Vrindavan. So Shukadeva Goswami has actually counted all the atoms in the universe, but still he never comes to the end of counting Krishna's glory. Just like Ananta Shesha, with his unlimited heads for unlimited time, he's been chanting the glories of Krishna and he never comes to the end of those glories. So this is the greatness of Krishna. There's always more to learn about Krishna. And in pastimes like this, we see how Krishna can show both sides, the very sweet, innocent child, and the majesty, the overwhelming majesty. It's like he's showing his Vishnu, the majesty, Aishwarya. He's showing some Aishwarya here. But Yashoda's not in this Aishwarya Bhav. She's in Vatsalya Bhav. She wants to see Krishna as her child. So that's what she goes back to and relishes here. So the translation again, O King Parikshit, when the child Krishna was almost finished drinking his mother's milk, and Mother Yashoda was touching him and looking at his beautiful, brilliantly smiling face, the baby yawned, and Mother Yashoda saw in his mouth the whole sky, the higher planetary system and the earth, the luminaries in all directions, the sun, the moon, fire, air, the seas, islands, mountains, rivers, forests, and all kinds of living entities, moving and non-moving. Any questions or comments?
When I was just out of college, I had a job teaching, and I happened to be in a town where this priest that I had known as a young boy was. So we went out more or less at the behest of my parents, because I had left the church for some time. We went out and had dinner. So I was talking with him, and I said, "What actually is it that is heaven? What do you actually see? What do you experience there?" And so I was, of course, at that time I didn't know anything about impersonalism, but he said, you have the beatific vision, which is just beholding God. Mm-hmm. And he said, you see the light, you know, he starts the light. And I was thinking, well, that doesn't sound very exciting. It just doesn't sound very intriguing or engaging. And so, I could see that even within that the framework of this, Christian church that had been going on for centuries, two millennia, that there was no knowledge, beyond. I mean, later, of course, when I became a devotee, I could understand what he was saying and what he had missed.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting.
Of course, it also shows that even Krishna's energy is so attractive. There's that verse in the Brahma Samhita. It says that the yogis will meditate at the speed of mind for thousands of years just to get a glimpse of the rays emanating from Krishna's toenails. So even that is so attractive. Even to see the Brahma Jyoti light is so attractive because it's coming from Krishna. It's overwhelming. It can overwhelm and stun us. So, but we know that beyond that, millions and billions of unlimitedly more times attractive is Krishna's personal form. Guru Prasad?
Prabhu, very nice class, Prabhu. When I was reading the Bhagavad Gita, I got the impression that when Arjuna saw the universal form, he was terrified, and he asked Krishna to see his personal form. When you were describing, the Krishna's, you were saying, what is the sunset and the seven wonders. So did he not see all this, or he just saw...
Well, he saw different things, of course, but he definitely saw. There seems to be an emphasis on seeing the ghastly side that Krishna was showing. Gaura rupam. Gaura means ghastly or scary, terrifying. So he was seeing death. One thing Krishna was showing with the universal form is that you don't have to worry about killing these people because I've already killed them all. What did he see? He saw the soldiers, the armies being eaten by the universal form, ferocious teeth swallowing them up. So the universe, of course, is both things. We have tornadoes and we have beautiful sunsets. We have both things there. So the universe, we can see different sides of it. So Arjuna was getting a particular vision that was emphasizing the scary part of it.
I guess that was the same thing with Duryodhana too, because he wanted to see that the end results will be everybody will be killed. Because I think...
Krishna was showing that. Of course, there's also an attraction to that, because we're attracted to seeing scary things too. Why is that? Everybody wants to see there's a car accident. Oh, let me see. Anybody lying on the road here? Violence attracts, and it's in the movies. Why is it attractive. People want to see it for some reason. Because there's something exciting about it. It wakes us up or something. So even the scary parts of nature have a certain attraction to them. Power, we're seeing power, that's one thing. Power is attractive. It's one of the qualities of Krishna. To see power is attractive. It affects us.
I keep seeing the car spinning and turning over, and I got home. I hate scary movies.
Yeah.
And having that experience is total.
Well, I think that's the attraction of different media, you know, novels and television and so on. We're able to attract things, as we're able to sort of experience things, but at a safe distance. When it's up close and personal, then our reaction is different. Most of us don't have a lot of experience with violence, you know, up close and seeing it all the time. And of course, people who do, it really affects them. You know, soldiers coming back from war, what happens to them when they're really experiencing violence and brutality and so on? It's too much. You know? So we try to experience it because it's some excitement there, but we stay away. So anyway, Krishna's universal form has both these elements. It has a beauty, actually has so many qualities, all tied up in material nature, because it's a reflection of Krishna. So many things are going on there, and he can show different things at different times. Even though I think in the Krishna showed Duryodhana the universal form, but if I remember correctly, it was a partial universal form. So Krishna can display different aspects of his greatness according to his purpose. Madam Mohanpuru?
I was just thinking in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna describes the mode of goodness is quite similar to that, the heavenly vision that they talk about. All the senses are illumined with knowledge. So you're always, they're illumined with knowledge. So you have that light of seeing it. And it is the mode of goodness. It does take you up. And that seems to coincide a lot with their concept of heaven. It's not free from any desire. You still have your desires, but you can still see everything. And there's Fido and stuff. Of course, for a devotee, sometimes I say that instead of living in the light, we live in delight because of Krishna consciousness is so sweet. Have something to do.
Jivikram, or someone else?
Sometimes, I think it was Lalita or Vrinda, they usually train parrots to glorify Krishna. So there was one part called Manjuvak. And he was saying that the glories of Krishna is unlimited. Even Ananta Shesha cannot able to explain it. But he's going to try. He says just like how a dry coconut is very hard and difficult to pierce, often he would, or occasionally he would still take his beak and peck at it, trying to see if he can open it. So similarly, like that, he would try to glorify or explain the glories of Krishna, but it's impossible.
Mother Diti?
Sometimes, more in recent years, the idea is that somehow, you know, the relationship of the gopis to Krishna is somehow higher than Vatsalya Rasa, or the relationship of Mother Yasoda to Krishna. And in the very beginning years, I remember it used to be said that it didn't matter that whatever was in your cup, when it was full, it was full. So I might wonder if you might speak on that point a little bit.
It's both things. Prabhupada does speak about it in both ways. There is a certain sense in which Madhurya Bhav is the highest because it has whatever is there in full in all the other rasas is there in Madhurya Bhav. You can say there's something missing in one sense in the other rasas. There's not,
because the devotees are fully satisfied, but in one sense, there is. There's a certain intimacy with Krishna in Madhurya Bhava that's not there in the others. Mahabhava, Radharani herself is called Mahabhava Rupa. So she is the form of the greatest love for Krishna, and that's Madhurya Bhava. So there is a sense in which it's higher, but in another sense, it's not really, because each one, it's not that the cowherd boys are thinking, oh, I wish I was a gopi, or I wish I was Mother Yashoda or something. They're perfectly satisfied. So in that sense, it's perfect. It's perfect for the devotee, so how can you get more perfect? We use these phrases, more perfect, most perfect. Well, it's our invention, really. You can't be more perfect than perfect. But in spiritual life, you can get more perfect. That's one way of looking at it. So it's paradoxical. You could say it's paradoxical. In one sense, it's true. And it's not something we wouldn't harp on it. Somehow, to consider the cowherd boys inferior in some way to the gopis. Now, we don't think that way. That's not right. That's offensive. But if you want to get technical about it, there is a certain sense in which the Madhurya Bhava is the highest relationship with Krishna. So I think acharyas make both of these points. They're equal, but in one sense, there's a difference too. Shesha Prabhu?
Well, there's also commentary by the acharyas that all the relationships in the spiritual world are Madhurya Bhava.
Yeah.
So everyone's in Madhurya Bhava, with the cowherd boys, the trees, the animals, Mother Yasoda, everybody is serving that relationship of Radha and Krishna together. So everyone's Madhurya Bhava.
Yeah, I think I heard that. There's something I was trying to think I'd come across too, somewhere where it says that, because I was thinking of Shantarasa. And sometimes, now when I looked up Shantarasa in Nectar Devotion, there was no mention of the trees of Vrindavan, for example. You know, that's what we think of. Well, they must be in Shantarasa because they're not cowherd boys, they're not servants, you know, they're the stones of Vrindavan. But I remember reading somewhere where it said that all of the residents of Vrindavan belong to the three higher. Now you're saying all Madhurya, but I remember hearing that they're all in the three higher, better put that in quotation marks, the three higher rasas. So it's inconceivable, we put it that way. They're all, actually, this is similar to, I was thinking recently in the mode of goodness, Prabhupada talks about Brahmins. He says we all have to be Brahmins. So we think, well, what about Varnashram? He says unless one comes to the Brahminical platform, one cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. So, wait a minute, we're all supposed to be Brahmins? I thought, what about Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Shudras? We can't be any of those and be Vaishnavas too? Well, the idea is that we're all Brahmins by qualification. So we can, even apparently, as a kind of metaphor, there's a kind of a Madhurya Bhav in the spiritual world, because the intensity of the love for Krishna, the prema, knows no bounds. So whatever one's relationship is, then it's full, it's complete, it's absolute full love for Krishna with nothing missing. So that's one way to look at it. There is no deficiency in any of the relationships with Krishna. So they're all full of the most intense love, and the devotees are fully satisfied with that. So our acharyas, of course, they analyze these things in different ways, but that's the... And it's kind of interesting, this idea that the Madhurya gopis, they put their feet, their heads on Krishna, on Mother Yashoda's feet, and she's in supposedly a lower... So then you can see, well, what's lower? There's no question of lower, they're all just serving Krishna in full love. Okay, we'll stop here. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.